connection with perfection. It's more than affection. Are you infectious? Yes, you are.
Welcome to a special Saturday edition of BBT. Today, we are going to talk about the Big Five games, the betting lines on those, and we'll also reveal our Week 2 power rankings. Let's not waste any time. College football's on an hour. Obviously, people are a lot more interested in that. I know I am. Just kidding. I love you guys, and I love doing this. But let's get right into it with our power rankings. Let's roll. Number 10, St. Louis Rams. They played fantastic defense against one of the best running backs in all of football, and quite frankly, one of the better offenses in all of football. Their defensive line, Robert Quinn, Aaron Donald, who is a budding superstar, one of the long kids, I can't think of his name, but obviously if he has any genetic material of his dad, he's obviously pretty good too. Their secondary concerns me just a touch. Jason McLeod, Janoris Jenkins, those guys are a little... Janoris Jenkins is their best corner, but those guys aren't probably to the degree of any of the other teams in our top 10. But St. Louis, I thought, played fantastic defense. They did give up 31 points, but they were at home. They came away with a win, and they showed up defensively when they needed to. Offensively speaking, Tavon Austin really came to life. They had a punt return. He ran one in from 16 yards out. Nick Foles looked pretty good. I don't think he did as well as people were hoping for, but he did lead them to a win, and that's all that really matters. So that's number 10, St. Louis. Number 9, the San Diego Chargers. They were down early, but they didn't give up. Detroit fell apart. The Lions fell apart in that game. If you watched any of it, Detroit just didn't look like Detroit. Calvin Johnson was basically non-existent. Matthew Stafford was average at best. Amir Abdullah was fantastic in his rookie debut, but Detroit didn't really look like Detroit. San Diego, however, Melvin Gordon couldn't really get it going, but Danny Woodhead was catching balls out of the backfield. He ran the ball somewhat effectively, enough to keep the chains moving. Phillip Rivers, I thought the heart and soul of that team really, that showed as the game went on and as they got deeper into the game. Especially when they were down early, Phillip Rivers rallied the troops, kept them in it. San Diego, my number 9 team. Number 8, the Buffalo Bills. They're number 8 because of their defense. Their defense is fantastic. We all kind of assumed that it would be anyway with Rex Ryan now in charge in Buffalo. He's a defensive-minded guy, always has been. That's his bread and butter. And when you give him talent like he has on the defensive side, he will definitely produce. Offensively speaking, Sammy Watkins didn't do much. Offensively, they didn't do much in general, but they did have the one nice play to Percy Harvin. Tyrod Taylor threw it deep down the right sideline, and it went for a 56-yard touchdown. But my only concern is quarterback play with this team. Running the football, they're always somewhat decent at running the football. The receivers are good enough to compete in this league. It's only the quarterback position. If Tyrod Taylor can play above average, he can get him to the playoffs. Above average quarterbacking will get them to where they want to be, at least for this year. They were going to have to address this next year. Tyrod Taylor is not the answer. He's not going to win you a championship. But he did a nice job in his first start. Last week has a tough challenge against New England this week, but we'll talk about that game in a little bit. Number 7, the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, it's Saturday. I understand that there was a game Thursday, and Kansas City lost. But I was going into the assumption of before Week 2. So these are before Week 2 happened. Kansas City is on my list. They are at number 7. They looked okay Thursday night. I think a lot of their strengths are on the defensive side. Offensively, their biggest issue is they don't push the ball down the field. They have Jamal Charles, who's a stud. Everyone knows that. Alex Smith is a above average quarterback. I wouldn't say he's top 10, but he might be top 13, top 14. But they don't push the ball down the field. And I, for the first time I watched them this season on Thursday night, that showed again. I didn't see much of their first game. I couldn't even tell you who they played. But this past week, going off of that footage, it was this much of the same from the Kansas City offense. They don't have any vertical passing game whatsoever. And Jeremy Maclin had to be force-fed the ball when his bread and butter, or his strength, is the vertical passing game. And that's why he did so well in Philly. And he hasn't done much in Kansas City this year. But defensively, they were good as always. That's why they are number seven. Number six, Seattle Seahawks. Yes, they lost, but I have them in my top 10 because it's Seattle Seahawks. The loss of Cam Chancellor is looming large, especially heading into this week when they face Green Bay. This isn't the St. Louis offense anymore. This is Green Bay. The best, if one of the best, if not the best in the NFL. They need him badly, but they also need to be able to get quarterback, get pressure on the quarterback. Their defensive line did that somewhat against Nick Foles. I thought Nick Foles did a great job in handling their pressure, but he was getting the ball out quicker than he normally does. Aaron Rodgers got the quickest release in all of football, so if you don't get to him, he's going to cause you tons and tons of trouble. But they do, there's a silver lining for Seattle. Brian Bulaga, right tackle for the Green Bay Packers, is out this week with an MCL sprain. He's lucky he didn't do anything more. But that is kind of a blessing in disguise if you are Seattle. But I do. So the dog says hi for all of you listening. So anyway, Seattle. There's some trouble on their offensive line. Defensively, obviously, without Cam Chancellor, they're going to struggle a little bit. But Seattle, number six. They're not out of the top 10, but they're trending in the wrong direction, and it doesn't get any easier this week. Number five, the Arizona Cardinals. They took one of the better offenses in the league and made them look below average or mediocre. It was incredible what their defense was able to do. Offensively speaking, if Carson Palmer can stay healthy, there's no reason why he can't lead this team. And this is part of the overreaction after week one. But if he stays healthy, there's no telling where this team could go. They could easily be playing in late January, possibly even February, if their defense stays healthy. And obviously if Carson Palmer stays healthy. But obviously, Arizona, great team. They're trending in the right direction, but for right now, I have them at five. Number four, the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas was on the ropes. The Giants had them dead to rights. And some bad play calling by the Giants late. They were able to get the ball back. And Tony Romo took them down the field to score a touchdown to win the game. They're number four, mainly because... Well, who's better? I don't think Arizona's better. I don't think Seattle's better at this point. Arizona, you could make a case now that I think about it, but I have them at five. I don't like them higher than Dallas. I feel like Dallas has more talent, especially offensively, than they do, and I'm a big offense guy because that's what this league is. This league is all offense all the time. But Arizona does have a better defense, so I do give them that, but I just think Dallas has a lot more talent. And a quite more favorable division. Because they get to play the Redskins twice. The Giants, obviously they already beat. They will probably be played tough again, but I expect them to win that game whenever that is. They do have Philadelphia this weekend, but we will get into that when we get into our top five games of the week. But Dallas, number four, because frankly, I don't see anyone that could be better than Dallas at the four spot. At this point in time. But one of those teams that is better than Dallas, number three, the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning doesn't look like Peyton Manning, and that concerns me. But he is getting it done enough, I should say. He's doing enough to keep his team in games and to keep them competitive, really the story of the first week and even this past week, which I know I wasn't going to include, but I already talked about it with Kansas City, so why not? The last 2 weeks, Denver has been all about their defense. They got DeMarcus Ware on one side and Von Miller on the other. That's a scary combination. Offensively, obviously we talk about Peyton Manning. They're going to pick it up, I have a feeling. Otherwise, they're going to be average. Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, I think, look fantastic. I think they're helping Peyton out a lot. But, like I said, it's all about their defense right now. Aqib Talib in the secondary is doing a fantastic job. Roby, the kid from Ohio State's done a nice job. Their defensive line has been outstanding, and their linebackers have been really good. So, as long as they keep playing defense, they should be just fine. Although, Peyton Manning's health or age is a bit concerning to me. Number two, the New England Patriots. They were unstoppable last Thursday night. They made Pittsburgh, who's a solid team, they made Pittsburgh look like a high school team. They were outstanding. Rob Gronkowski, one of the best in the league. I talked about this on our last podcast last week. But Rob Gronkowski is an absolute animal. And as Rex Ryan said, King Kong's about the only one that can cover him. And Tom Brady knows this. And Tom Brady, for the record, and I said this last week too, he's going to have a monster year just because he wants to give the middle finger to the NFL. Because he wants to show people that he can still do what Tom Brady is known for doing, and that's winning. Obviously, it was a good start last week against Pittsburgh. Defensively, I still have a lot of questions, especially in their secondary. I think their defensive line is good enough to put pressure on quarterbacks. Their linebackers are pretty solid with Jamie Collins and Ninkovich. It's their secondary that concerns me. They have McCourty playing safety instead of corner, which I think is going to hurt. They lost Darrell Revis. They lost Brandon Browner. You can't replace guys of that caliber. And I think that's going to hurt them in the long run, but that won't affect them until Thanksgiving time. For right now, I think they'll be awfully, awfully good for the next couple weeks. Until Thanksgiving, then I would watch it because I feel like their secondary might let them down the stretch. And number one, the Green Bay Packers. Packers are number one. They didn't look great against Chicago, but I don't think it was a matter of Green Bay looking bad as well as Chicago. I think it's more the Bears played well. I thought the Chicago Bears looked fantastic in week one. I thought they ran the ball effectively. Yes, their run defense for Green Bay concerns me a bit. Secondary, Sam Shields was getting picked on a lot. He didn't look great. That concerns me a little bit. They are getting Morgan Burnett, their starting safety, back this week to go along with HaHa Clinton Dix, which will help. But I was a little concerned by the play of Sam Shields, and I think that's my biggest concern at this point. The defensive line is only going to get better. Obviously, suspensions play a role. Dayton Jones is back. That'll help. We don't know how much, but it will definitely help. LaTroy Guyon is coming back in a couple weeks. That'll also help. And right now, the weakest spot on that team is linebacker. Offensively, we all know that Jordan Nelson went down, but James Jones filled in nicely. I don't think there will be any problems offensively. It's all on the defensive side where all the questions lie. And right now, it's at the linebacker spot. They lost Sam Barrington for the year, and that's a huge loss. I think that was their most underrated player going into this year. He plays such a key role for them, mainly because he's their best tackler. The Green Bay Packers are probably one of the worst tackling teams I have ever seen. They let Jay Cutler break a couple tackles. Jay Cutler, the quarterback. They let him break several tackles. They really didn't wrap up that well on Forte. They were doing a lot of bending. They never broke in that game against Chicago, but they did a lot of bending. And now, with the loss of Barrington, that basically means Clay Matthews will be playing on the inside almost full time. I'm sure they'll put him on the outside. Jake Ryan, the fourth round pick out of Michigan, is going to see a lot more time than he was expecting. He'll probably be at the middle spot, and they'll move Clay outside where he's more comfortable. But Clay Matthews is going to be playing a lot of inside linebacker, and I think that it's going to help them. but the pressure on the quarterback isn't going to be there. And especially this week when they go up against Seattle, they're going to need to get pressure on Russell Wilson. And that's what they did in the NFC Championship game last year, and they had a lot of success. They got pressure on Wilson. They tackled decent in the first three and a half quarters, and they should have won that game, as we all know. Obviously, there were some things that occurred that they choked it away. But I do think that Green Bay is still a Super Bowl contender. I think they can still be playing in February, no question. But I also am just a touch afraid for their linebacking corps. I think it's going to get a real test this week, especially against Marshawn Lynch. So that's the power rankings. Let's start at the bottom and we'll go up. 10, the St. Louis Rams. Number 9, San Diego Chargers. At 8, the Buffalo Bills. The Kansas City Chiefs come in at number 7. 6, the Seattle Seahawks. Number 5, the Arizona Cardinals. Number 4, the Dallas Cowboys. Number 3, the Denver Broncos. Coming in at number 2, the New England Patriots. And the top team is the Green Bay Packers. So that's it for the power rankings. And before we go, we still have to get to our big five games, our top five games of the weekend. We have betting advice, even though I don't gamble because, A, it's not legal, at least in this state. And quite frankly, I have no money to gamble away as a poor college student. But our top five games, let's roll the music and let's talk about the first game, the Falcons and the Giants.
Anybody wanna fall in love tonight? Fall in love tonight.
Little throwback, Prince released a new album today. Or this week, I should say. This is one of the tracks off of that album. But let's start Falcons and Giants. We have the Falcons, a 2-point underdog, going to New York. The Giants are favored by 2. Quite frankly, I thought Atlanta's defense looked terrific against the Eagles, who are a better offense than the Giants. I think down the stretch they were collapsing a little bit in that game. They didn't finish real well. They did win. They didn't finish very well on Monday night. If you're betting, I'm taking Atlanta all the way. 2 points isn't that much. And quite frankly, I think the Falcons can easily win this game. I do think for the Giants, I think that Odell Beckham comes alive this week. I don't really like Atlanta's secondary all that much. A lot of the dropped or incomplete passes Sam Bradford had on Monday night were drops. So I do think Odell Beckham will come alive this week. But I do think Atlanta probably loses. But if you're betting, I'd bet Atlanta because I think 2 points isn't that much. I think the Giants win, but it'll be a close one. But I will take the Giants this week in the Meadowlands. Second game up, the Cowboys at the Eagles. The Eagles are a 5-point favorite at home against Dallas. Dallas coming off that emotional win in last week against the Giants. The Eagles lost on Monday night to the Atlanta Falcons. They are a 5-point favorite. If I'm betting, I'm taking the Cowboys. I think Dallas can, again, like Atlanta, can easily win the game. Can easily win this game, but their defense has to show up. Offenses are going to be a shootout. This is going to be a big high-scoring game. But I do think it's a field goal game. No, on either side. It's a coin flip. If you're betting, take Dallas. I'm going to say the Eagles because I don't think they're going to lose 2 in a row. I think Darren Sproles plays a huge role in this game. And he's going to challenge the Dallas linebacking core. So I'm going to pick the Eagles -5 and swallow the points. If you're betting on that game, though, I should mention, take Dallas. Take the points. But I think the Eagles do end up winning, but 5 is a big number. Next game, New England at Buffalo. It is a 1-point game in New England's favor, a road favorite at Buffalo. I'm taking the points all the way, and I like Buffalo to win this game. I think New England's going to give them a test, but Buffalo's defense at home, did you see what they did to Andrew Luck and company last week? It was incredible. Andrew Luck looked like he was in high school. He was confused. He couldn't read the defense, or not as well anyway. New England a 1-point favorite on the road. I'm taking Buffalo. Take the points. I think Buffalo wins. I'm taking Buffalo. And that's 3 home teams that I've picked so far. So Do we switch that up? I think so. The next game, San Francisco at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is 6-point favorite. It's at Pittsburgh. San Francisco looked very good on Monday night. They basically took Adrian Peterson out of the game. And that was also Minnesota's fault because they didn't use him properly. But San Francisco did a nice job defensively. Colin Kaepernick looks like he's improved some. And Pittsburgh's defense is atrocious. They looked terrible. Terrible. Last Thursday night against New England. They've had 10 days to correct it. But a 6-point favorite, Pittsburgh? I'm taking San Francisco. I take the points. I think San Francisco wins. And quite frankly, I think they could win easily by a touchdown. So I'm taking San Francisco. Take the points. I like San Francisco to win the game as well. Our last game, the Sunday night game, Seattle at Green Bay. Green Bay is a 3.5-point favorite. It's a half point, so it's a little goofy. But I can't see how Green Bay loses a fourth straight time to Seattle. They're too good. The secondary for the Seahawks didn't look great. The Legion of Boom didn't look great against St. Louis, and they're 10 times worse offensively than Green Bay. I think it's a high-scoring game, but I still think Green Bay wins, and I think they win pretty handily. I think their defense will get a test, and I think Don Barclay, who's filling in for Brian Bulaga on the right side, is going to have a rough day. But I just can't see how Green Bay at home, especially after all that happened last year with Seattle, I can't see how they lose to Seattle again under the lights at Lambeau in front of their home crowd. I can't see Aaron Rodgers or any of their captains letting that happen. I'm taking Green Bay. I will swallow the points. I do think it's a tight game, but I do think Green Bay wins probably by more than 3. But I think the score is going to make it look closer of a game than it actually will be. I don't like where Seattle's at right now, and Green Bay is trending in the right direction, Seattle in the wrong direction, taking Green Bay, swallowing the points. So let's recap. I have the Giants over the Falcons. I have the Eagles over the Cowboys. I have the Bills at home, a home underdog, beating New England. I have San Francisco beating Pittsburgh, and I have Green Bay swallowing the points, beating Seattle at Lambeau. That's all we have for you today. I hope you enjoy your weekend. It is 10:59 on Saturday, September 19th. College football is about to start in 40 seconds, so I will wrap it up. If you want to get in contact with us, make sure to email us at BroughtsBroadTalk@gmail.com. Tweet us at BBT Sports or like us on our Facebook page. Thank you all for listening wherever you are, however you're listening. Thank you for listening. And with that, we will let you have your fantastic weekend. Enjoy the games, everyone.